Welcome to another inspirational message from the chapel. We pray this message encourages and inspires you. If you would like any more information, check out our website, thechapelcollective.com.au.
Awesome. So I don't know about you, but I love stories. I am kind of from kids' stories to like biographies. I'm a bit of a nut. Like I enjoy watching and seeing how people come from what they've been to where they've gotten to now. And it doesn't always need to be a rags to riches story, but even it's just a sorrowful story. I like sitting with people and even hearing their difficulties and their trauma and their challenges. And I love characters. And today, the title of my message is Your Character, Your Choice, and Your Heart is the Voice. And characters in books and movies and in writing of lyrics, of songs, characters help us understand more about ourselves and more about others. And we have this thing that writers will use called character development. And character development is something that causes a hook. It makes us stick. It makes us want to understand what's going to happen to this person and this story. And it is when a reader or a watcher or a listener observes the change of behavior throughout the course of the narrative. And there are many different kinds of characters that a writer will use. And for the purpose of today, I'm going to look at two. I'm going to talk about a dynamic and a static character. And a dynamic character is one that goes through some sort of change, a lesson that they learn, something that they need to overcome, and where their perspective is altered. And then we have a static character. They do not change at all throughout the course of the story. They serve to show a contrast to dynamic characters. They refused to grow and they remain in one place. And so the question that I want to ask you and I this morning, and that God is asking me, because God is writing a story with your life, are you a dynamic or are you a static character? Because everything in your life will be impacted by, limited by, or spurred on by your character. And so we're going to look at Moses and Pharaoh and God. And Moses and Pharaoh started out the same. They knew nothing about who God was. What does trusting God look like? But it was their decisions and their responses that ultimately led them in completely opposite paths of their life. And so we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 7, verse 17. And Stephen is speaking to the Sanhedrin and he's telling them this story. And it says that as the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. Pretty cruel. At the time Moses was born, he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for by his family. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by the Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you're brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. And so we begin to learn a lot about Pharaoh and Moses from the text. We're going to first spend most of our time looking at Moses. But we see character development. The text tells us that he is said to be beautiful. He was cared for. He was a Hebrew and he wanted to identify with his own people. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. He was educated as an Egyptian. He was powerful in how he spoke and how he chose to act in his own life. He had a strong desire to protect his own people, and he was rejected as well by his own people. He went to Midian, and he left Egypt. And we only have just a start of this story to understand a lot about Moses and about his leadership. But character is not what's on the outside, or where you're born, or whether or not you were put in a basket and abandoned or adopted or with your birth family. It's what's within us. But it's those details that God uses to fashion and to form our story that is used to not only bring about character development in our own story, but to be used for our character. Because it's how we respond to our situations. It's parts of our character development that can affect how we respond. Because we can be products of our own circumstances like Moses and still choose to respond well. We begin to learn something significant about Moses in this text. We see a conflict rise up within him, and something is shifting in him and changing. It says, before he fled and killed the Egyptian in verse 23, he went to go and visit his people. So it's said in commentary that this actually means he left the palace. He wasn't just, I'm going to go and visit, then I'm going to come back to the palace. He actually decided to leave the palace. We find this out in Hebrews 11, 24 to 26. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. And so the first thing I want to point us to is that character building hurts temporarily. It hurts. Leaving a palace for Moses, though, was more uncomfortable than being rejected by his own people. He was determined to seek justice, to save the oppressed. Wayne Jackson says this, that it is not infrequently the case that a person's character is revealed by his ability to say, no. No, I am not going to live a comfortable life. I'm not going to live a life of pleasure. I'm going to live a life of disgrace for my own people and for Christ. And that is who Moses was. They highlight that Moses' life was segmented into 3:40s. When we arrive at this part in the text in Exodus 3:1, he's in his second 40s. He is now 80 years old. He's found in an in-between moment. He doesn't belong anywhere. He's misplaced. He's a hybrid, if you will. I can only imagine his restlessness, his insecurity, his desire to understand, God, what are you doing? I've left what I thought was my family. I'm here by myself. What are you doing with me? And Exodus 3:1 says this, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And so the second point that I want to make is that character requires wilderness as our teacher. And don't skip class. Don't skip class. Moses is in Midian. Midian represents the wilderness. He was there for 40 years. Which is a long time. Some of you aren't even 40 yet. That's a long time. He chose to fully and completely identify with his people, leave what was familiar, what was full of splendor, riches. He would have had a future that was set. And he decided not to do that. I love this expository. I was in tears when I read this. And it says this, it was a very sharp descent from Pharaoh's palace to the wilderness. And 40 years of a shepherd's life were a strange contrast to the brilliant future that once seemed likely for Moses. But God tests his weapons before he uses them. And great men and women are generally prepared for great deeds by great sorrows. Solitude is the mother country of the strong, and the wilderness with its savage crags, its awful silence, and the unbroken round of its blue heaven was a better place to meet God than in the heavy air of a palace or the profitless splendors of a court. Wow. Wow. The Hebrew word barmidbar is translated in the wilderness or in the desert, which comes from the Hebrew root word to speak. Might I submit to us this morning that your wilderness season that you could be entering in, or maybe you're in now, is the perfect place for God to meet you and speak to you, for you to know what does hearing him sound like? Because once you live in the wilderness or have come out of one, you can understand, I don't want to live a comfortable life anymore. I don't want to go back to that, because God changes us and our character in the wilderness. So what will it be? Will you live a life of inconvenience or comfort? And how long are you willing to wait for that? Because Moses was promised he would be a deliverer of his people. And not a word was spoken to him for another 40 years until he was 80 years old. Don't skip class. It was in this season of time where Moses learned contentedness, humility, patience, meekness, suffering, solitude, characteristics that were far more valuable than any education he ever received in Egypt and in a king's palace. And the wilderness was his best teacher, his greatest degree. So what if I told you the best part of your resume and the best part about you isn't what you do, what education you've had, but it's your character? What if I told you that it's what qualifies you for the next season? Would you go and do the hard thing? Would you embrace this hard season that you're in a bit differently? Would you respond differently? Because your character is not only a significant part of God's story, but it's about you and I understanding who he is better. We learn about us, but we learn about who is he? Who is God in the wilderness? Because it's a special, special place if we allow it to be that. So Moses sees this burning bush, which symbolizes God's presence and his spirit. And Moses is curious. He's like, what is that? What is this strange sign? And so the third thing I want to say is that character is proven through the work of the Spirit in our life. So stay curious. Because you never know how God's going to speak to you, and you never know how he's going to show up. And it is the activity of the Holy Spirit that brings forth maturity in our character, all of which were lessons that were highlighted all throughout Moses' life. Contrary to Moses' story, and maybe some of us here today, I loved what J. Oswald Sanders says. He says, it has been said, it is the intensity of years, not their extensity, that is a true measure of maturity. For maturity is actually an attitude of your life. It is our attitudes, not our arteries, that determine the quality of our life. Our age is beyond our control, but whatever our age, our attitudes can be changed by the power of grace and a holy purpose. The activity of the Holy Spirit in the believer, bringing about progressive and manifest growth, will always be the unimpeachable evidence that he is God's child. Amen. So I don't know about you guys, but in the United States, you can impeach a president, which means you can take them out of office, which is very popular here, by the way, when it comes to, what do you call them? Yes, thank you, prime ministers. I think when I first moved here, I was like, wow, another one. Weird. Is that possible? But being a child of God, it's unimpeachable. When you have the work of the Holy Spirit, it can't be taken from you. No one can take it from you. And it's this process that we call sanctification, when we become more and more like Christ every day. However, we actually need to participate in that. When we repent, when we forgive, when we read the Bible and we actually follow what it says, when we pray, when we worship. And it is still God who uses those things to change us to be more like him. And the more you and I submit to him and follow him, the more our character becomes like his, because it's his character we're trying to become. We're trying to become like him. And so we participate when we put ourselves in a position where God can change us. And that change comes again through the work of the Holy Spirit, never our own striving or our own effort or trying too hard. But it requires something, which is my fourth point. It requires obedience and not giving up. As Moses' story continues, we see him display immense hesitation and doubt about what God is asking him to do, to let his people go. He hides from God. He questions his plan. He asks for reassurance. He questions his own ability. He flat out tries to refuse. God says, "I'll send Aaron." And then by chapter 7, he's getting better at trusting God, but he's still not quite there yet. We see him have total confidence with God when we get to chapter 14. It is there that you and I can stand on a promise sometimes that we are quite familiar with that says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Right? We're familiar with that. And then I read this, which was blew my mind, which was an incredible leadership tip for all of us who have influence, which is each and every one of us, by the way. And it says this: the more that people saw Moses trusting and following and obeying God, his reputation with his own people and the Egyptians changed. We read this in Exodus 19:21. It said that he became highly favored amongst Pharaoh and his own people. Wait a second. They went from not recognizing him as a leader, like, "Who are you to judge me? You're not a leader. I'm not listening to you." To, "Wow, he is highly favored. And the people that he's coming against are also seeing him as highly favored." So might I encourage us all that you continuing to trust in God changes the way people think about you and think about God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, but God was kind. God was kind when Moses was struggling, which is what I want, another one to highlight. That was just a thing for free, by the way. Okay, so God was kind with Moses when he was struggling with self-doubt and trusting God. And so I just want to say to some of you today, if you are struggling, if you need reassurance, if you are doubting, if you're hesitant, if you're hiding, God will be kind. And I want to say to us as the church, if you see these people, be kind. Be kind to them. He tells Moses he will help them. He tells Moses that he'll be with him. He's going to intervene and he's going to make it hurt for those Egyptians when he needs to. He says that he won't leave them empty-handed. And the thing is this, is God wasn't afraid of Moses' fears, and he meets Moses where he's at. He could work with Moses. Moses was an incredibly dynamic character. Moses overcame the challenge. And then we have Pharaoh. He's a static character. He refuses to grow the whole entire narrative. Scripture says this: he was defiant. "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." Exodus 5:2. He was unresponsive, but Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he did not let the people go. Exodus 9:7. He was strongly resistant. He sinned yet again and hardened his heart. He was set in his ways. "Leave me. Make sure that you never see my face again." So now let's look at God. Let's enter in the King of Kings, because his response to these two is incredibly different. And the main difference was because of their heart. It's not a point, but it should be. It was their heart. Because Moses, he ran to God throughout each and every chapter that we read. Even in his struggles, he ran to God. He grew to trust God over his own feelings. And I can't imagine how hard it was for Moses to just keep going. Like, "God, come on again." He's hanging in there for the years that he did, the amount of plagues, to keep going back to God, going back to Pharaoh. By verse 11:8, it says that Moses was hot with anger and he left Pharaoh. He's like, "I'm done with you, Pharaoh. I'm over this." To be this guy constantly in the middle and ping-ponging, to see the glory of the Lord do all of these plagues and be like, "Wow, God, you are so real." And then to Pharaoh, who is like, "Whatever." How hard that would have been for Moses. And then we have Pharaoh, who we hear is what? His heart was hard. His heart was hard. He never changed. He never grew. He never decided to be repentant. Pharaoh's heart was hard towards the Israelites, and it has been said that a part of God's judgment was he was going to keep Pharaoh's heart hard. That's what Pharaoh wanted? Sure, you're going to get what you desire. I'm going to make sure your heart keeps staying hard. Pharaoh initiated the consequences, but God was kind because he tried, because he's patient. Plague after plague, he tried to get their attention, the Egyptians' attention, Pharaoh's attention. His heart was impenetrable. Here's what you get, Pharaoh. If Moses points us to who Jesus would be, who does Pharaoh point us to when we don't respond well to God? Because God's heart isn't like our heart in no way, shape, or form. It is way better. His heart desires to see you and I set free. His heart is to see the best in us. His heart is to see us saved, redeemed, in heaven with him forever. And so, Christians, our character is about us becoming more like Christ. And our character determines how God is going to deal with us. Because there's one thing about God that's true. He's just. He's just. And so he has to deal with our sin and our choices because he's also holy. And character is a big part of that. Because again, as I said at the start, everything in life will be impacted, limited, or spurred on by your character. But there's great news for us who are in Christ, who are abiding in the vine. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But it's important we reflect. Moses and Pharaoh, two different characters, two different paths, two different choices, two different hearts, one static, one dynamic. Your character, your choice, and your heart is the voice. Where are you in the story? How are you responding? Dan, how's your heart? I ask Dan that all the time. He thinks I'm a bit funny. But I'm only coming to you guys with this today because God is asking me these same questions a lot right now. When I have my challenges, when I'm going through small children, when I'm dealing with the things going on in my mind that likes to jump and have monkeys. Linnea, who are you going to be? And where are you going to run? Because I like to run, but it depends on where we run. So I'm going to speak to a few groups of people before we wrap. For those of you who are being tried and tested in what feels like the wilderness, I want to tell you today that God is enlarging you in the waiting. Great character comes from testing, and God's tests are worth passing. That God could meet us better in our wilderness than in our comfortability. So enjoy it. Spend time with him. Cry with him. Seek his face. I want to tell you today, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep running to God. Because God never says, get over it. He says, give it to me. And then the second group I want to speak to, for those of you whose hearts have been hardened, maybe by people or situations or circumstances, I want to tell you today that I see you and I want to give you a hug. I want to say something to you because I love you, but it's hard because I'm learning this with you. It's your own sin, and it's the sin of others that's going to make your heart hard. So confess it to God regularly. When we bring things into the light, they no longer have power over us. So talk to someone if you're struggling that you trust and who's safe and who you know is for you. And I want to tell you to forgive. I want to tell you today, let that thing or that person go. Let them go. Every night, recall your day. Thank God. And then just say, I choose to forgive. Because a wise friend of mine, Hannah, says this, when we say we choose to forgive, we take it off our hook and we put it on God's hook. And then he can judge it properly because you and I can't do that. And then I want to save the best for last. I want to save those of you whose hearts have not yet been given to the Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that as I pray. But I actually wanted to sing before I do that, this song, I Speak Jesus, over our character. As I was listening to it, I just was moved so powerfully by the lyrics. And I'm going to pray it, and then I'm going to have the team lead us in just the final part of it. So let's just pray. We'll sing that song. I'll pray for those who want to receive Jesus, and then we're going to see some baptisms. So God, I thank you that you care about our character more than our comfort. Thank you that you use your Holy Spirit for those of us who have accepted you to become like you. So God, I pray for those of us who may be frustrated with ourselves, that we're not where we want to be, to just be patient and to wait on your Holy Spirit. I want to pray for those who are in the wilderness, who are being tried and tested, that they would find comfort, that they are in the best place with you in that wilderness, that you will speak, that you are bar mitzvah in the wilderness. We thank you for that. God, I pray for those that have a hard heart, God, that you would soften them and that they could trust you with their heart. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus over our character, because I know that there's peace within your presence. I want to speak the name of Jesus over each and every dark part of our character, and that you would break it, that there's hope and there's freedom for our character. I speak Jesus. I pray that you would just break every stronghold in our character that is holding us back from everything you've got for us, and that we would just take the reins of everything that you have for us in our season. I speak the name of Jesus over fear, over anxiety, over depression, over every lie that we've believed about ourselves, our situation. And I just speak that you would allow for captivity of that to break in Jesus' name. I thank you because Jesus is the name above every other name. I thank you that Jesus is perfection. I thank you that Jesus made a way. I thank you that Jesus, you are the best character in the story of the Bible. And I pray you'd help us to look to you and be like you. Thank you for what you have done throughout this course of this word. I pray that you would plant seeds in our hearts. And I thank you, Jesus, that your word never returns void. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey again. Thanks so much for joining us on this podcast. Whether you are new and exploring your faith or a follower of Jesus, there's a next step for you. There is always room to grow, more to be done, destiny to be pursued, and people to be reached. So what's your next step? To find out, head over to thechapelcollective.com.au. And thanks again for listening.